الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. Continue our readings in Kitab al-Tawheed. We have been reading from the chapter. The author, he has mentioned, Rahimahullah, Babun من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو وغيره. The author, he mentioned the chapter with regards to the issue. He says, من الشرك from الشرك أي الأكبر من الشرك الأكبر from the types of major shirk أن يستغيث بغير الله and to call and supplicate on other than Allah in times of hardship, asking for relief and protection and removal from hardship. أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غير الله أو يدعو غيره or supplicate or invoke and call on other than him. So in our previous class we have seen the definition and the meaning of al-istighatha and the difference between al-istighatha and al-du'a. And likewise, we have seen the virtue of both of them, specifically al-du'a. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, al-du'a huwa al-ibadah, al-du'a huwa al-ibadah. And likewise, has preceded that du'a is two types, du'a mas'ala, wa du'a ibadah. And that du'a, an invocation and supplication, is from the greatest acts of worship, and that every act of worship, that if it is performed properly in the correct manner, it is a type of supplication and invocation, calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to the individual, whether he's calling on Allah with his tongue and asking him directly, or whether if he's calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his state of being and his condition. Now, this is all considered a du'a. So the author, he mentions, to clarify, that from a shirk, yani what is in reference here is shirk akbar, from the major shirk that takes an individual out of the deen of al-Islam, iyadhan billah, is to make al-istighatha to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in the affairs that only Allah he is able to do, in the affairs that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to save from and to protect from, and likewise to invoke and call on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the acts of major shirk. And the author, he mentions the likes of these chapters to clarify the meaning of la ilaha illallah and the issues that contradict and conflict and invalidate that statement, either weaken or invalidate it entirely. And also he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala in these chapters, and that which is preceded and that which is to come, those invalidators of al-Islam, or those actions that invalidated Tawheed, any from shirk, any to clarify the true meaning of it, Tawheed, also mentioning these issues because they are affairs that have occurred in the Ummah, and the people who ascribe to al-Islam, many of them have fallen into these affairs, and they have been tried with seeking relief and the likes from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of hardship, in times of difficulty. They have been tried with making an istighatha with the graves and making istighatha with the mashayikh, turuqiyya, from the mashayikh sufiyya and the likes, seeking relief and in times of hardship from the jinn, and supplicating and calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that many of those people from the ummah have been tried with, iyadhan billah. So the author, he makes the likes of these chapters, has written the likes of these chapters to clarify this issue and to clarify the reality of al-tawheed and the true meaning of la ilaha illallah, and to clarify that which contradicts and conflicts with that or weakens that, whether contradicting it from its origin and its foundation entirely, or conflicting with it in a manner that would weaken it, and weakening the tawheed of an individual, and also mentioning these affairs that have that some of the ummah have fallen into, in order to clarify for the people to be upon insight in their deen and to know the correct religion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, deen al-tawheed, deen al-ikhlas, ikhlas al-ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says, rahimahullah wa qawlullahi ta'ala, من الشرك أن يستغيث بغير الله أو يدعو غيره وقوله وقول الله تعالى in the statement of Allah the Most High ولا تدعو من دون الله ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك فإن فعلت فإنك إذا من الظالمين وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو الآية فلا كاشف له إلا هو الآية الآية and the ayah continues, وَإِنْ يُرِدَكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, so the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَدُرُّكَ. And do not call or invoke other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not benefit you nor does he harm you. And this is a khitab للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم directly. يعني ولا تدعو هذا يعني أنت. So the one who is being addressed and the one who is being spoken to directly in this noble verse is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is specific here, but what is intended is general. يعني what is intended is general. لا تدعو يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من دون الله ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك. Do not call on anyone other than Allah, and he supplicated and do not invoke anyone besides Allah that does not benefit you, nor does it harm you. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ, and if you did that, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, then verily you will be from the oppressors. So we see here that the dhamir is mufrad and it's referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani the pronoun being used here is singular and it's referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something that we know, walillah alhamd, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's free from. He's free from ever associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's free from ever calling on anyone other than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But Allah is mentioning this address to him to clarify the severity of this issue, that even if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to do this, فَإِن فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, and if you did that, then verily you will be from the ظالمين, from the oppressors. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would never do that. And he would never call on anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Naam, and he who Imam al-Muwahideen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the Imam of those who make Tawheed and of those who have monotheism. So Allah, he prohibits the Prophet from calling on anyone other than him. Naam, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And then he clarified, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason for that. مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. Do not call on other than Allah anything that does not benefit you, nor does it harm you. That does not benefit you, nor does it harm you. So this is a description here that fits and suits anything and anyone who is called on besides Allah. Because النَّفْعُ وَالضُّرُّ مُلْكٌ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. هُوَ الَّذِي يَنْفَعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَضُرُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. هو النافع والضار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who benefits and brings benefit to whom he wills. And he is the one who allows to be harmed to whom he wills. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who brings about good and benefit. And he is the one who the dominion and the affairs are in his hand. And people have good in this life because of his decree and his command and his permission. And likewise, people are harmed in this life and are experiencing hardship and difficulty because of his decree and his command and at his will. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything in this life is in the hands of Allah. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything belongs to him. Naam, everything in the kingdom of the heavens and the earth belongs to him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing occurs in his kingdom except with his permission. So therefore, anybody who is called on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, then or anything that one would supplicate to or call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal fits this description. La yanfa'uka wa la yadurruka. Nothing besides Allah can benefit you, nor can it harm you. Therefore, it's not worthy to be called on. and it's not worthy to be supplicated to, and it's not worthy of invocation, and it's not worthy of ibadah, because it doesn't have the ability, it doesn't possess the ability to benefit, to bring about benefit, or to bring about harm. Rather, this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Therefore, He is the only one who should be worshipped, and He is the only one who should be hoped for, and He is the one who the heart should be attached to, and He is the one that the believers, and likewise all mankind, should put their trust and reliance upon to have good, and to have nafa' and benefit, and likewise their hearts should be attached to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the removal or the protection from harm, because benefit and harm is from those affairs that are in the hands of Allah. They're from the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and all of this is in the hands of Allah. He is the one who is in charge, and He has the keys to the treasures of the heavens and the earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ. Do not call on anyone other than Allah that does not benefit you, nor does it harm you. And nothing in this life can benefit or harm from the affairs of this world. And the only one who has the ability to benefit and harm, it is Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So therefore, do not call on anybody besides Him, because they cannot help you and they cannot harm you. Naam. And then, فَإِن فَعَلْتَ, and if you did that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, the verity you will be from the oppressors. So here we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is free from that, and he never called on anyone other than Allah. And he called on Allah alone, and he called others to call on Allah alone. But to clarify the severity of this issue, Allah mentioned and addressed him in this manner, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prohibiting him from calling on anyone that would not benefit or harm him, and if for calling on anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise mentioning that even if the Prophet did that, then he would be from the oppressors. So if that is the case, if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to do that, then how about those lesser than him? Then of course they will be from the oppressors. And this verse here is similar like that verse in Surah Zumar, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتُكُنَّنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That verily, it has been revealed to you and to those before you, meaning from the prophets and messengers, that if you made shirk, and O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then verily all of your deeds will be invalidated. So we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not make shirk, and he would not make shirk, but Allah, He addressed His Prophet in this manner sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to clarify the severity of this issue, that even if this occurred, even if Prophet Muhammad were to do that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then all of his deeds would be invalidated. So how about those who are lesser in status and rank? Then of course their deeds will be invalidated. This is to indicate the severity of shirk and the severity of associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. That even the prophets before and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been mentioned to them the severity, that even if them, and they're from the closest and the nearest to Allah Azza wa Jal in rank and in status, and the most beloved of the creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if they were to fall into this filthy and great grave sin, then likewise the outcome would be that their deeds would be invalidated, and that they would be from the oppressors. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, He saved them from that. But this is the clarification for the people to realize and to understand that shirk, and from that calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, is a major sin and a major crime. And it is an act of oppression. So this clarifies that calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jalla is prohibited. So we see, وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, Allah, He says, do not call on anyone other than Allah. Naam, and then this is a prohibition, so this is haram. And this is major shirk. And He mentioned that if you were to do that, then verily you will be from the oppressors. And we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's mentioned about a shirk, that it is ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَإِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah, He mentioned in Surah Luqman that verily a shirk, it is the great oppression. And the greatest oppression is a shirk. Naam, and the greatest sin is a shirk. عِيَذًا بِاللَّهِ. Naam, وَإِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Nam, and the mushrik is called a Zalim, because al-dhulm linguistically is يعني وضع شيء في غير موضعه, to put something in a place it does not belong. Al-mushrik وضع al-mushrik وضع العبادة في غير موضعها فصار ظالما. That the one who is a mushrik, then he has put ibadah in the wrong place, a place where it does not belong. He has given this right to the one who does not deserve this. So this is considered oppression. And because of this action, he has become an oppressor. So we see that it is clear from this verse that it is impermissible to call on anyone other than Allah, and that the one who does this, he has even contradicted the legislation, and he has committed an act of oppression. And likewise, he is also conflicting even that which is intellectually correct in his own mind. Because these things that he would call on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are created. They are all created. Because everything besides Allah azza wa jal is from creation. So, therefore, to call on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call on other than the Creator, is to call on something that is weak and under the decree of the Creator, and cannot bring about good or harm by itself, only by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why the verse continues. He says, يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ وَيُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. That, and likewise, if Allah Azza wa Jal touches you with some harm, then no one can remove it from you except Him. Then no one can remove it from you except for Him. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wants some good for you, then no one can prohibit that. Then no one can prohibit his virtue. Subhanahu wa ta'ala yusibu bihi man yasha'u min ibadihi. He inflicts, or he allows he brings the good and the harm to whom he wills from his slaves. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And he is the most gracious and the most merciful. So if this is the case, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to harm or bring harm to an individual, then no one can remove it except for him alone. And that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to benefit and bring some good to an individual, then no one can prohibit him. Then no one can prohibit him. Huwa al-mu'ati subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one can prohibit what he has given. No one can prohibit what he has given. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa al-mani. No one can give what he has prohibited. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in his hands alone. So therefore, to call on other than him is foolishness. And it is ignorance, and it is oppression, and it is oppression. So the author is mentioning this verse to clarify the issue. And he calling on other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is shirk. Allah prohibited it. وَلَا تَدْعُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Naam, it doesn't benefit you and doesn't harm you. And if you were to do that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would be from the oppressors. And so if it's less than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then of course this is the same ruling. So the severity of this issue is great. And likewise, the author, he mentioned the next verse, وَقَوْلُهُ يعني وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَبَتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَعَبُدُوهُ الْآيَةِ. The ayah continues, he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَعَبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ. And seek your provision from Allah. And seek your provision from Allah. أي يعني فَبْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ. يعني من الله سبحانه وتعالى وحده لا شريك له. To seek your provision from Allah alone. عند الله الرزق. فابتغوا عند الله الرزق. الرزق. نعم عند الله. This is a ظرف شبه جملة. And it come in before the مفعول به. It's given precedence coming before. This indicates restriction and limitation. فابتغوا عند الله لا غيره. عند الله وحده لا غيره. الرزق. Seek your provision from Allah alone and not from anyone else. From Allah alone and not from anyone else. وَعْبُدُوهُ. And worship Him alone. وَعْبُدُوهُ أي وَأَخْلِصُوا لَهُ الْعِبَادَةِ. And make your ibadah sincere and purity for Him alone. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. And show thanks and be appreciative. And show thanks to Him. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to Him you will return. Or into Him you are returning. فَبِتَّقُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So the author, he mentioned this verse, and seek your provision from Allah alone. And seek your provision from Allah alone. And this is to clarify that seeking provision, it should be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That the same way that a person, he seeks Jannah, and he seeks the mercy, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, likewise his provision in this life, he only seeks it from Allah azza wa jal. And this verse is to clarify that seeking provision, it must be from Allah alone and not from the creation. And this is because it is well known that some of those people who have fallen into making shirk, and with regards to al-istighatha, and with regards to a dua, that they will call on the people in the graves, and that they will call on the mashaykh, and they will call on those idols and those false gods that they have taken besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And you will find one of them asking them for provision, or the trees that they worship, or the stones, or the idols, and that if they cannot have a child, they will beg the stone or the wali in the grave to provide for them a child. And they will say, yes Sayyidi Fulan, and zukni waladan salihan, like this, or my wife is aqim, my wife is barren, please provide for me a child, or my son is sick, please cure him. And they will make these calls, and they will ask for this provision from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will call on the graves, and they'll ask for provision, and they'll ask for wives or for husbands, or the provision that they're looking for from the affairs of the dunya, that they'll ask for wealth and the likes like this. And they will go to the graves, and they will call on their idols besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they claim are their intercessors. مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَوْنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, like they say or they claim, but in reality they're calling on them and they're seeking their provision from them. So this is an act of shirk, major shirk, and this is not permissible. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ, you must seek your provision from Allah alone and not from anyone other than Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ الْمَنَّانُ, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who is the provider, and He is the one who bestows His blessings upon whom He wills from His creation. So therefore, a believer, he will only seek his provision from Allah, the provision of this life and the provision of the hereafter, that he will only seek his provision from Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he will take the means. So a believer will take the means in this life to find provision, and taking the means does not contradict with the issue of seeking that provision from Allah alone, but rather he will put his trust and reliance and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will know that that provision comes to him from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from his permission and from his will that he has allowed that provision to come. But likewise, a believer, he knows that Allah has legislated and decreed means for that provision to come to him, and means for him to obtain that good in this life and in the hereafter. So then he will take the means. He will put his faith and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will take the means to get his rizq, and he will take the means to get his provision in this life, his provision with his wealth, his provision for his family, his provision also in his knowledge, and so on and so forth. All of this is from the types of provision that a believer will seek from the good, the rizq, rizq tayyib in this life. And he seeks it from Allah Azza wa Jal, and whatever he obtains from that, it is from Allah, not from his own efforts. But he does have to take the means. He does have to take the means. So the point is here that the sustenance, it must be sought from Allah alone, and that one will not call on the people in the graves, and he will not call on the righteous, or he will not call on the awliya, so they claim, and ask them for provision, and ask them for sustenance, and ask them for a child, or for a cure, and so on and so forth, because all of this is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَاعْبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So then a believer, his heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jal, and he seeks all of the good in this life and in the hereafter from Allah alone, along with taking the means. And likewise, if he's afraid of something, or if he fears some danger or harm hardship or difficulty, then he seeks refuge with Allah alone, and he seeks protection with Allah alone, and he takes the means, and he takes the means likewise, and he takes the means. So the author, he clarifies that seeking provision, it must be from Allah alone, not from, not calling on and seeking and supplicating to the awliya and to the graves and the likes to obtain provision. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah wa qawluhu, wa man adallu mimman yad'u min dunillahi man la yastajibu lahu ila yawm al-qiyamah wa hum an du'aihim ghafilun wa idha hushira an-nasu kanu lahum a'da'an wa kanu bi'ibadatihim kafirin wa kanu bi'ibadatihim kafirin. So the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, wa man adallu mimman yad'u min dunillahi man la yastajibu lahu ila yawm al-qiyamah. And who is more astray or is in more misguidance than the one who calls on other than Allah, the one who will never respond to him until the day of resurrection, the one who will never respond to him until the day of resurrection. وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ. And even at this time, or at the same time, they are heedless of their supplication. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ, and whenever the people are gathered together, al-hashr hu al-jama', whether hushir al-nasu, and whenever the people are resurrected and gathered together on the day of gathering and the day of resurrection, kanu lahum a'da'an wa kanu bi'ibadatihim kafirin, they will be enemies to them, and they will disbelieve in the worship of them that they perform for them, and they will disbelieve in the worship of them that they perform them for them. Wa man adallu mimman yad'u min dunillah, and who is more astray? يعني هذا الاستفهام هنا الغرض منه النفي. يعني that this is a question here, but what is intended is negation. يعني no one is more astray. ومن أضل يعني لا أحد أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله. No one is more astray than the one who calls on other than Allah. He calls on other than Allah. Why this person, he calls on other than Allah? Because that, well, man la yastajibu lahu ila yawm al-qiyamah, that person or that thing that he calls on besides Allah can never respond to him and fulfill his request until the day of resurrection. وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ, and they're heedless with regards to their supplication. They're heedless with regards to their supplication. They're unaware of that. Those people who are calling on the graves and the people in the graves, they will never be able to respond to them until the day of resurrection. And even at the same time, they're even heedless. They do not have a clue about their calling on them. They're heedless about that supplication. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسِ كَانُوا لَهُمْ عَدَاءً. And then likewise on the day of resurrection, whenever the people are gathered together in the resurrection, then they will be enemies to them. They will be enemies to them, and they will free themselves from them. They will free them. Those who are worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla will be enemies to those who worship them, and they will free themselves from them. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. And likewise, those who are worshipped besides Allah, after freeing themselves from them and having enmity towards those who worship them, and on the day of resurrection, likewise, they will disbelieve. They will disbelieve that they in the worship that was given to them from those people who associated partners with them. From those people who associated partners with them. And this is similar to what Allah has mentioned in more than one place in His book about the affair of the day of resurrection and those false gods and how they free themselves from those who were worshipped besides them. And that those people who took gods besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, that they took them seeking honor and they thinking that these false gods will bring them honor and power and ability. But in reality, they will only bring them shame, and they will bring them shame and hardship and ruin on the day of resurrection. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّا كَلَّا سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدًّا وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً. That those people have taken gods, false gods, objects of worship besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why? لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً, thinking that this will be a means for izzah, for them, for might and power and authority. But Allah, He says, كَلَّا, no, never, never. سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ, they will disbelieve those آلِهَةً, Those false gods, سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ, they will disbelieve in the worship that was performed for them. وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدًّا, and they will be against them. They will be against him on the day of resurrection. So those people who called on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have this recompense, and they have the fact that the person they called on is not able to respond to them. لا يملك نفعا لنفسه ولا لغيره ولا ضرا. Nam, that he, this person that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, does not have the ability to benefit him or his own self, or protect harm from his own self, more or less than somebody besides him. So the person that they call on, or the object that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal, is weak and not able to respond to them. And likewise, the one that they call on besides Allah Azza wa Jal is heedless and unaware that they are calling on them. And likewise, the one that they call on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, they will be enemies to that person. And also they will disbelieve in that worship. And they will disbelieve in that worship. نعم سيكفرون بعبادتهم ويكونون عليهم ضدا وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين. نعم. And then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, likewise, so he mentioned to clarify that, or this verse, that whoever calls on other than Allah Azza wa Jal, he's foolish. Calling on someone that cannot respond to him, who is weak, who is a creation like his own self, the creation calling on the creation to bring about benefit or to protect from harm. And likewise, this one that he's calling on is heedless. How can he call on someone that's heedless? The person is, if he's in the grave, or if he's calling on the jinn, or if he's calling on this one or that one, the angels, and the likes like this. These are not aware that they're being called on. And then on the day of resurrection, there will be enmity between them, and they will disbelieve in that worship, and it will not be accepted. Rather, there will be a means for them to have humility and shame in this life and in the hereafter. Iyadhan billah. The author, he mentioned also, wa qawluhu subhanahu وتعالى أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. And who answers the one in distress whenever he calls on him and he removes danger and difficulty. Then the author, he's clarifying that it is well known to into the mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah alone, he is the one who responds to the one in distress. That whenever a person is in danger, and a person is in difficulty, and a person is in hardship, al-muttar, the one who is in dire straits, that the only one who responds at this time is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah, he does respond to that person, and he is the one who removes that difficulty and that harm, and he is the one who protects and brings safety and security. And if he is the one, and they realize that he is the one who does this alone, in that time of difficulty, then they must realize likewise that he is the one who does it alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the times of ease. In the times of ease. And also we see the difference between those mushrikeen in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those who have come later, that they were aware that it is only Allah who can save them from hardship and extreme difficulty. And they only made shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the good times. As for those people who have come later, even from those who ascribe to this ummah and claim to be Muslims, and they make the shahada with their tongue, but in times of ease and in times of difficulty, they call and they invoke and they supplicate to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make istighatha, seeking relief and support and aid and protection in other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, invoking Him and calling on Him and seeking provision in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in good times and in bad times. And all of this is from major shirk, and all of this is a means to invalidate that statement, La ilaha illallah. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, wa rawa Tabarani بإسناده أنه كان في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منافق يؤذي المؤمنين فقال بعضهم قوموا بنا نستغيث برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذا المنافق فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه لا يستغاث بي وإنما يستغاث بالله. The author, now he closed this chapter by mentioning the hadith. He says وروى الطبراني بإسناده. Imam al-Tabarani rawa bi isnadihi, he narrated with his chain. He narrated with his chain, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now, from the scholars of Hadith, Imam al-Tabarani died in the year 360. He has many great works of Hadith from them. Well, what he meant, this narration is Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir. Naam. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that he narrated with his chain that there was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a hypocrite who used to harm the believers. It's mentioned that the chain that he has here could have some deficiency in it, and the likes like this. Some of the ulama mentioned that, and some of them mentioned that it possibly the chain is correct, and others said that it has some deficiency. So Allahu alam, but it's mentioned here it was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the actual chain also it mentions that the narrator is Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu anhu. أنه كان في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منافق يؤذي المؤمنين. That in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a hypocrite who used to harm the believers. There was a hypocrite who used to harm the believers. فقال بعضهم, so some of them said, قموا بنا نستغيث برسول الله من هذا المنافق. So some of them, they said, let's go to the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and make استغاثة with him from this hypocrite, and to ask him to protect us from the evil of that hypocrite and the harm of him. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّهُ لَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِي وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them that no one should make istighatha with me, but rather only make istighatha with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an issue here that we know that al-istighatha, it is ibadah, and it should be for Allah alone. But also we mentioned that there was an exception to that, and that is the case of making istighatha with someone who is alive and present and able to protect them or to relieve them from that danger or that harm that they are in. And we mentioned before, like the one who, for example, is drowning in some water, and he sees somebody nearby, and he says, Ya Fulan, throw me a line, throw me a rope. And he's drowning, he's in distress. And then he sees somebody very near, throw me a rope, or call 911. Or like this, and he sees somebody who's there, who's present, who's able to help him and remove him and relieve him from this distress. Then this is not considered shirk, and this is something that is permissible. So this has proceeded. So we see here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's present, and he is able, and he is alive at this time, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the companions, they knew this, so they're not asking to make istighatha in the manner that is shirk. So they know the ruling of istighatha. So this is something that is clear and has proceeded in the book of Allah azza wa jalla. Fastaghathahu alladhi min shi'atihi. مشيعته على الذي من عدوي. That Allah mentioned about the companion of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that he made istighatha with him against his enemy, that there was somebody from the children of Israel, and there was a person from the people of Fir'aun, and he was fighting him and he was harming him. And then whenever Musa came by, he sought al-istighatha from Musa, and Musa helped him and removed him from that hardship. فَوَكَزُهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. So this is something that is known, it's permissible, and in this case here, the istighatha that is haram, that is shirk, major shirk, is to make an istighatha with other than Allah Azza wa Jalla, and something that only Allah Azza wa Jalla has the ability to do, or to bring, that only Allah Azza wa Jalla has the ability to do. So here the companions are being harmed by this hypocrite, so they ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect them, or to help relieve them from him. So the ulama, they mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said this, إِنَّهُ لَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِي وَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَغَاثُ بِاللَّهِ. Then whenever they use this terminology, this word istighatha, like this, in this manner, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to correct them, or to close the doors and to shut off the pathways to shirk. And mentioning that he mentioned the sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the dhari'ah, ليتأدب أصحابه في الألفاظ, and to teach his companions that they have to have good manners in the words that they use, and that they shouldn't say it like this, make istighatha, we make istighatha with you. And he said, rather, no one should make istighatha with me, where the only make istighatha with Allah Azza wa Jal. And to clarify that this is something that is for Allah alone, meaning the Prophet, if he want, he can help them, but he doesn't want this word to be used like that, and for it to be because it could be misunderstood, and likewise to close all avenues that lead to shirk, because the istighatha, there's a type of istighatha that ibadah should be only for Allah alone. This should be only for Allah alone. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is referring to. So he is correcting them in the word, in the way that they use this word, in order to close the avenues and the doors to a shirk. Some of the ulama, they mentioned actually the meaning or what is being referred to here is that actually in this situation, the Prophet ﷺ, he does not have the ability. He does not have the ability, yani, to stop them, to prohibit that munafiq. So this is something that, and based upon that understanding, then it's real. He does not have the ability, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stop this hypocrite. And that is because what the ruling for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to treat the hypocrites like the believers. So long as they displayed Islam, so long as they displayed at Islam outwardly, then they have the rulings of the Muslims, and it's not allowed for him to harm any of them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To as long as they display Islam, then he doesn't have the ability. And it's been mentioned likewise that one of the reasons why he was not able to do anything to those hypocrites even after they become known is because he did not want it to be said لِأَلَّا يُقَالَ إِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ يَقْتُلُ أَصْحَابَ, so that it would not be said that verily the Arabs and the rest of Quraysh and those other non-believers from the tribes in the area, if they hear that he killed them, then they will say that Muhammad is killing his companions. So then no one will enter into Islam. They'll be afraid. They'll enter into Islam and Muhammad is killing his companions. But the reality is that they're hypocrites. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refrained from that, and he was not allowed to punish them or harm them or kill them because of this issue. So therefore, to seek make istighatha with him in this situation against this type of individual, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does not have the ability. So then the only way to get relief from this hypocrite and this situation is to seek relief from Allah alone, is to seek relief and is to make istighatha with Allah alone. So this is what the ulama have mentioned with regards to this narration. Even Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this meanings here. And he said, during his mention, if the narration is authentic, then this is the case here. Either said in the Dari'a, وَتَأَدُّبًا بِالْأَلْفَاظِ. Oh, if the narration is authentic, then it's because of this issue here in the state of that munafiq, that they have been given the rights of the of the rest of the Muslims, so long as they display at Islam outwardly, yani, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was not able to deal with him. He was not able to deal with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if they need to have relief from his harm and his evil, then they must seek that from Allah alone in that situation, and Allah knows best. So the author now, he has the Masail, and we read them, inshallah, we read them briefly. There are many Masail, but we won't take too long this morning, inshallah, barakallahu feekum. So he says, rahimahullah, fihi masail ula, anna alfa du'a ala al-istighathati min alfi al-ammi ala al-khas. The first issue or benefit is that, the du'a is being an alfuhu, is mentioned after the istighatha. This is from mentioning the something that is general, mentioning something that is specific after something that is general. Mentioning something general or that is something that is specific, excuse me. Yani, meaning that dua is general and istighatha is specific, and it's a specific type of dua. So istighatha is dua. Every istighatha is dua, but not every dua is istighatha. Naam. Athaniya. تفسير قوله ولا تدعو من دون الله ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك. The second benefit or mas'ala of this chapter is the explanation and interpretation of the statement of Allah the Most High, and do not call on besides Allah anyone who does not benefit you nor does not harm you. And we have seen the meaning of that, and that the Prophet, he is the one who's being addressed here, but the ummah is what is intended, and this is to clarify the severity of that issue. And likewise, that everyone that is called on, everyone besides Allah who is called on and worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, does not have the ability to benefit nor to harm. So this is ما لا ينفعك ولا يضرك. This includes anyone or anything that is called on besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how great its status is, or how large it is, or how honorable it is. Nam, it doesn't have the ability to benefit nor to harm. Nam, rather that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الثالثة أن هذا هو الشرك الأكبر, يعني meaning that يعني to call on other than Allah عز وجل, this is major shirk. يعني إن الشرك لظلم عظيم, فإن فعلت فإنك إذن من الظالمين. So this is clear that if calling on other than Allah عز وجل is major shirk. الرابعة أن أصلح الناس لو يفعله إرضاء لغيره صار من الظالمين. The fourth benefit, that even if the most upright person were to do that action to please others, then he would be from the oppressors. And the most rectified person, the most upright person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَئِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. That the Prophet, he is the most upright. أَصْلَحَ النَّاسَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And even if he were to do that action, which he is free from, but just to clarify the severity, then he will be from the oppressors, and all of his deeds will be invalidated. So if that's the case, with the most rectified, the people who are most upright, not about those people who are wicked, or people who are less than them, if they do that action, of course, they will be from the oppressors. And of course, their actions will be invalidated likewise. And if that's the case for the one who is most upright and most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal, then how about those who are lesser than them? Al-Khamisa, Tafsir al-Ayati, Alati ba'daha. And the fifth one is the clarification of the verse, or the interpretation of the verse that comes after that. That comes after that. That, and he's referring to the fact that no one can remove harm except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That no one can remove harm and danger except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, no one can bring about good except for Allah azza wa jal alone. So if this is the case, then the worship belongs to Him alone. And He should be called on alone and supplicated to alone. An istighatha, an isti'ana, wa isti'adha, kulluha lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wahda. Naam. لا شريك له في ذلك أبدا. نعم. So this is the case and the benefit from these verses. السادسة كون ذلك لا ينفع في الدنيا مع كونه كفرا. يعني the sixth benefit, the fact that this will not benefit the person in this life and in the hereafter, and at the same time he's a disbeliever. So this person who committed this action, and he does not benefit in the deen nor in the dunya. And he is harmed. He doesn't benefit in the dunya, and his deen is harmed, and he falls into an action of disbelief. Iyadhan billah, calling on other than Allah, seeking the provision from other than Allah, making istighath and seeking relief and aid from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is it will not benefit him in this life, and it is disbelief. And hereafter he'll be from the losers. Iyadhan billah. السابعة تفسير الآية الثالثة. The seventh benefit or masala is the interpretation of the third verse. فَبْتَهُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رِزْقًا وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And that had preceded. الثامنة أن طلب الرزق لا ينبغي إلا من الله. And the eighth masala and issue is that seeking provision should not be from anyone except for Allah. كما أن الجنة لا تطلب إلا من الله. Just like paradise is not sought from anyone from Allah. If somebody wants the provision of Jannah, he wants to go to paradise, he wants to go to Jannah, who does he seek that from? He seeks it from Allah alone and no one else. The author is saying, in the same manner that a person only seeks Jannah from Allah alone, likewise he only seeks his provision from Allah alone. But likewise, the one who only seeks the Jannah from Allah alone, also he takes the means to get to what he is hoping for. And he takes the means to get to what he is asking for. He asks Allah for Jannah and no one else. And he takes the means that Allah has legislated to reach that paradise and that Jannah. Naam, and likewise, he seeks his provision from no one else. Only Allah alone. And then likewise, he takes the means to obtain that provision, the means that are legislated and allowed for him. التاسعة تفسير الآية الرابعة ومن أضل من يدعو من دون الله. The ninth مسألة is the interpretation or the explanation of the fourth verse, and who is more astray than the one who calls on other than Allah, and that has preceded. العاشرة ذكره أنه لا أضل ممن دعا غير الله. And the tenth مسألة is that he has mentioned سبحانه وتعالى that no one is more astray or misguided than the one who calls on other than Allah. And this is because that وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ, it means لَا أَضَلُّ. The meaning of the question here, and who is more astray? It means meaning no one is more astray. So this is the understanding the author, he has clarified. And المسألة العاشرة. طيب الحادية عشرة أنه غافل عن دعاء الداعي لا يدري عنه. Likewise, the one who was being called upon and supplicated to, he's heedless of the supplication of the one who was supplicating, and he has no, he is not aware of that whatsoever. الثالثة عشرة أن تلك الدعوة سبب لبغض المدعو للداعي. That in reality, that supplication is the reason, is a reason for the one who is being called upon to detest and to hate the one who is calling on him. وَعَدَاوَتِهِ لَهُ, and that he will have enmity for him. وَيَنِي, from the statement of Allah, وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَاتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. نعم, الثالثة عشرة تسمية تلك الدعوة عبادة للمدعو. And the 13th مسألة is that that da'wah and that supplication has been called عبادة to the one who is being called upon. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. So Allah mentioned that who is more astray than the one who is calling on other than Allah, the one who will not respond to him. And then Allah mentioned in the next verse that whenever the people are gathered, that they will be enemies. Those who are called upon will be enemies to those who called upon them, and they will disbelieve in their worship of them. So Allah, he called their supplication of them ibadah. Ibadah. Naam. الرابعة عشرة, the 14th mas'ala. كفر المدعو بتلك العبادة. And the 14th issue is that the one who is being called on besides Allah Azza wa Jal will disbelieve in that worship. وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ. الخامسة عشرة أن هذه الأمور هي سبب كونه أضل الناس. يعني the 15th mas'ala is that these affairs that have preceded, there's the reason for this person to be the most misguided of the people, and the furthest astray of the people, because he's calling on somebody who does not even care for him, or does not, who's heedless of his supplication, not able to respond to him. Even in the end, he's trying to draw near to that person, but what will happen? There will be enmity between him, and then they will disbelieve in that worship that they gave them. In the end, this is all a reason for that person to be considered the most astray. The most astray. He's calling on this person that cannot listen to him, cannot help him. He's heedless about his calling on him. He does not have the ability to respond to him. In the end, because he called on him, he will be his enemy. And then likewise, he will disbelieve in the fact that he called upon him, that this worship was not correct. So the person who does this, no doubt, he's very astray, misguided. من الله ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة وهم عن دعائهم غافلون وهم عن دعائهم غافلون ومن أضل ممن يدعو من دون الله من لا يستجيب له إلى يوم القيامة وهم عن دعائهم غافلون وإذا حشر الناس كانوا لهم أعداء وكانوا بعبادتهم كافرين. Now make a correction in the verse. بارك الله فيكم. طيب السادسة عشرة تفسير الآية الخامسة, an explanation of the 5th verse which has preceded. السابعة عشرة الأمر العجيب وهو إقرار عبدة الأوثان أنه لا يجيب المضطر إلا الله ولأجل هذا يدعونه في الشدائد مخلصين له الدين. And he mentioned the 17th issue and the amazing affair that those people who worship the idols, the idol worshippers and the pagans, that they affirm the fact that no one responds to the one who is in distress except for Allah. And because of this, whenever there's hardship and difficulty, they make their deen and they call on Allah Azza wa Jalla sincerely, making their worship sincerely and purely for Him alone. The 18th mas'ala, himayatu al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, himat tawheed wa ta'addub. وَالتَّأَدُّبُ مَعَ اللَّهِ. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave great concern to protect the rights of it, tawheed, and to have good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, referring to any of that position of some of the ulama, which it appears to be the position of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah here, that whenever the Prophet says, لا يستغاثوا بي, that you don't make istighatha with me, إنما يستغاثوا بالله, that Allah is the only one who makes you should make istighatha with. And to clarify that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did this to protect the tawheed and to close all the avenues that could that lead to the deficiency of a tawheed or the negation of a tawheed. And also to clarify that this type of language should not be used. And even if the intent is not the same and it's not haram, and it's permissible to ask them to help, to ask him to help them against this person. And he, but using these words could be misunderstood. So in order to cut off all pathways that lead to misguidance and to shirk and the likes like this and to disbelief, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified this. And likewise to clarify that these words are not the best words to choose. They shouldn't be used in this manner and could be misunderstood, and that the heart of the believer should be attached to Allah alone at all times with trust and reliance and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that they take the means. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.